the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios, at the corner of Trash View and Nata Vista. Please put on your 3D glasses now. We alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 kelvins to keep a sinful out of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? I think something's not working. Did we lose our music already? Oh my gosh. I hate when that happens. Anyway, yeah, you guys feel something. All right, anyway. Hey, everybody. I'm Jeremy. That's Shane. John. What's up, guys?
Chilling.
We're the Freedom Fiends. We are back. It's Sunday night, Monday morning. And yeah. Oh, yeah. And always Pipcot. Forgot that. That whole thing.
No, you know, government whatever. License.
Yeehaw. Yes,
the Freedom Fiends is covered by the Bibcot No Government License, which allows reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. To learn more, go to bibcot.org.
Thanks, Shane. Yeah, without the music, I'm so lost. I feel I felt naked out there. I managed to get through it. Anyway. So yeah, guys, it's
I'm glad you handles that part. I wouldn't be able to remember all that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, you do it enough times over the course of a couple of years.
I was thinking I wouldn't even be able to pronounce Cerulius. Is that
it took a while.
Pretty good. That's a good pronunciation.
Yeah, I think that works. So, yeah, so I don't know about you guys, but I've had one heck of a day over here. It's been the weather's been horrible. They didn't start off that great. I woke up this morning. My kids automatically went into like crazy mode. They've been cranky lately. I don't know what's going on with them, but I guess maybe they're getting older. They're starting to test more limits, and they love to try to push mine and Jen's buttons as often as possible. And this morning, I lost it on them, and I've talked about it before. I'm a proponent of the whole idea of peaceful parenting and stuff like that. And we've never hit them or anything. And we try to talk to them and reason with them through issues when they're having problems and stuff like that. But sometimes, you know, it just becomes a little too much. And yeah, I still have a temper, so I do yell from time to time. And this morning I just like flat out lost it. I was like, I try not to like make empty threats either. But like today I just like, you know, because I always tell them, I'm like, other people in your lives will make empty threats because Jen used to, they're, you know, other people in their lives, other family members would do stuff like that. And I'm like, no, if daddy says something, it's going to happen. Like if I tell you this is the consequence of you doing something, then that's what's going to be the case. But today I was saying stuff, you know, I was talking about just like leaving, you know, with their toys. I'm like, that's it. I'm moving without you guys, but I'm taking your toys with me.
Oh my God!
Well, that's still not actual aggression.
No, but it's still like I feel bad about it now. Like I still haven't talked to him. Like I kind of just cleared out of the house after that because I had to go to work. Because I was like, that's it. I have to go to work. I'm leaving. And when I come back, you guys better be doing work of some kind. I don't want to see you playing any game. You know, playing with your toys or watching TV or something. You better be doing some kind of work. And when I came back, you know, Jen had got them. They're doing practice and they're writing and stuff, which was good. And they spent most of the day doing that, but I was just in such a foul mood. Like, that's how I started my day.
So well, does it actually make a more of a difference in those rare cases when you do freak out? Because, like, you know, if you were to do it every day, it would probably have no value. But if it only happens when it's really serious, you would think that maybe it has more effect.
You would think so, maybe, but I've noticed that it hasn't, because it'll keep them on it. Like they'll be on good behavior for like a day or so. But as soon as something goes wrong for them and they kind of forget about it, they just slip right and back into their little attitudes. And it doesn't even need to happen. Like I get what you're saying. Like they can kind of become desensitized to it if it happens too often, but even just happening at all, it's like, the next day they've kind of forgotten about it to a certain extent already. So they're not making any connection with it anymore. So it's useless. All it does is let me blow off steam in the moment. And then then I feel bad about it later. So it really doesn't get us anywhere. So I really need to keep myself in check. You know, like I said, I mean, it happens, you know, when you're, you know, raising kids and they, especially young girls, especially twin girls who love to, do everything the same when they want to, and if they're not allowed to do the same thing, or if one of them gets one thing that the other one doesn't get, they can cause like a giant meltdown and stuff. So yeah, that was the start of my day. So I just went into cleaning mode all day after that, once I got back from work, and I was like, you know what, I'll let her, you know, I'll let Jen deal with the kids. And I mean, I was here, and I tried to check in on them if they needed anything, but I just went into cleaning the house and stuff. And then I was finally, you know, I was tired, but I was feeling better, and I was, you know, getting ready to, you know, they went to bed, and I was like, all right, great. It's still pretty early. I got like over 2.5 hours to get a nap in. This is perfect. Like, I'm going to be all great. You know, like, I'm going to be all rested for the show. And as I'm cleaning up downstairs and getting ready to head up to, you know, finishing stuff up and then getting ready to head up to go take a nap, I hear this pitter patter, like this, you know, this sound in the kitchen that I'm not used to hearing. And I'm like, what is that? I'm like, wait a minute, is that a drip? Where is that coming from? And all of a sudden I look at the big bay window in my dining room, and there is just water coming down from the top of the window.
Oh no.
Splashing on the sill. And I'm like, and then I walk over to it, and I look up, and I see, you know, where the seam is, where my dad and I had put this whole thing in a couple of years back. And I'm like, well, that's not good. And I push on it a little bit, and all of a sudden, this little tiny drip just turns into this stream of water that just starts pouring down into my dining room.
Good job.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. And I'm in my pajamas because I took a shower. Like, I had to get up early to go to work today, and after the whole hubbub with the kids, I just kind of just threw on my clothes and ran out. So when I came back home, I took a shower and then threw my pajamas on. Because I was like, I don't have to go out the rest of the day. I'm just going to hang out here and clean anyway. So I ran outside in like I have my pajama pants on, a pair of boots that I just kind of threw on that are like, you know, half on me, and a jacket that I've been wearing this whole winter that I love because it's been keeping me so warm. Somebody had left it here years ago, and when I tried to give it back to them, they were just like, ah, don't worry about it, you can keep it. And I learned tonight that, number one, the jacket is not waterproof. So that was fun. So I'm out there in my pajamas getting soaked in this big heavy jacket. And like, I'm running around the front of my house. I'm trying to figure out where the water is exactly coming from. I have my glasses on, so like the rain is just like all over the place. I can't see anything within seconds. And I was kind of reserved to the fact that I was just going to have to put like buckets and towels in my house and kind of like pray through the night. I was actually almost ready to call you guys and say, listen, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it tonight. I've got bigger fish to fry over here. I'm like, I'm texting my dad. I'm going, listen, man, you remember that window we put in a couple of years ago? I don't know what went wrong, but we got a problem now. And I go back outside, and I'm like, well, all right, the only thing I could do is try to cover it at this point, because who knows where it could be coming from. It could be coming from at some point at the top of the window. It could become like coming higher up. If there's a problem with the gutter, it could be spilling over like the back of it that way. It could be dropping down. So I'm like, I got to get a tarp up there. So here I am out in my garage, still in my pajama pants, trying to find a tarp that's big enough to cover the entire side of the roof, because I have to like throw it over the other side so it'll actually stay, and no water will actually be able to go underneath it. So I'm out there with my extendable ladder, and you know, I said that I didn't even bother to go upstairs. I just sent Jen a text message. I'm like, listen, I'm outside, and you know, in the rain, going to be climbing on the roof. So basically, if you hear something go boom, it's me. Luckily, that didn't happen, but the tarp didn't work; wasn't big enough. And I'm like freaking out, because like here I am, I'm desperately trying to sell this house and get the heck out of here. And it's like, you know, of all things you don't want to have happen, it's a massive leak anywhere in the house right before you're about to sell it.
Yeah.
And so the only thing I could, like the last thing I could think to do as I'm sitting there kind of just like standing dumbly in the middle of my front lawn as I'm getting poured on and just going, well, I don't even know what to do at this point, because I'm somewhat handy but not super handy. And you know, like I said, it's dark, it's cold, it's raining. I can't see much as it is anyway, because all the rain on my glasses. So I finally just decided to go up on the ladder one more time just to check the gutter. And as I do, I notice the gutter is filled with water. And I'm like, well, that's weird. And yeah, of course, luckily for once, there was a simple solution.
Oh, nice.
A piece of shingle apparently had broken free and floated down the gutter and was wedged at the top of the downspout. As soon as I, like, at this point, Jen had finally realized what was going on and came downstairs, like, in a somewhat attempt to try to be there to help me, I guess. I didn't really expect her to come outside in the pouring rain with me. But she's standing by the window looking at me, and is literally, as soon as I pulled that thing out, as soon as I pulled that piece of shingle out, the water starts flying down the downspout. She starts banging on the window, waving her hands at me. I'm like, what's going on? She's like, put her thumbs up in the air. Like, literally, that's all it took. As nice. Soon as I pulled that out, the water stopped leaking into the house. But I'm like, oh, thank you. Thank you. Now, of course, I'm sure there's damage inside because of this. You know, water obviously did get in through some channel and got inside the, whatchamacallit. The shingling on the outside. So I'm sure there's some kind of damage, which is just my luck. But hey, it could have been a lot worse. Oh, so that was my day. Yeah. How about you guys?
Well, today was my only day off, so I got to sleep in and go to the grocery store. But nothing as exciting as your day.
Yeah, I would have been quite happy with one of your day with that day instead.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds wicked, man.
Yeah. Like I said, it's just my luck, man. I figure these things are going to happen the closer I get to trying to sell my house. And in certain respects, you know, with certain issues, I can't really, well, I can complain because that's one of the things I do best, but I shouldn't complain because it's issues that I've kind of created, like the fact that if a leak does happen to spring in my actual roof, it's most likely my fault because the roof definitely needs to be replaced. And I've known that since I purchased the house. I knew I was going to have to do it, you know, a little bit down the road, and I just never got around to it. And now that I'm trying to get out of here, I'm like, well, I don't want to dump a couple of grand on the roof. So I'm just trying to get out of here before that collapses. Because when that happens, the most likely point where everything's going to fall in is right above my bedroom. Because that's where the worst part of the roof is. Home ownership. I don't recommend it.
Yeah, I gotta deal with all that now, too. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Our place is kind of... You know, we got, like, a tiny log cabin, so, like, yeah. The upkeeping.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Love the Freedom Fiends. But in this modern busy world, I just don't have time to listen all the way through every episode.
There is a solution. Go to the World Wide Web and log on to digest.freedomfiends.com and subscribe to the Freedom Fiends Digest. Digest.freedomfiends.com has 20-minute best-ofs of each episode.
20-minute best-ofs? Digest.freedomfiends.com sounds great. How much does it cost?
That's the best part. It's free. And if you listen at 1.5 speed, they're only 13 minutes long. Plus, the episodes are only about 15 megs, which is great, because I have a limited data plan.
Wow. I'm at digest.freedomfiends.com right now. It's so simple to use. And anyone who doesn't have 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends is a big old statist.
I agree with you about people who can't find 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends Digest. That's digest.freedomfiends.com.
And we're back. And as we're now into Monday morning. Well, at least for the three of us, it is. some people who may be listening, it still may be Sunday night, but I guess it was the Super Bowl yesterday now, which I don't pick on as much as I used to. You know, I was very anti-sports ball when I first became an anarchist. I still don't watch it anymore, but I've loosened my stance on that.
Same here. I've kind of gotten over it. I let people have their fun.
Well, exactly. Because I, you know, a couple of people pointed out the hypocrisy to me when they were, you know, when you say stuff like, oh, you're going for the, you know, the distractions, the bread and circuses of the state. Because especially when it comes to things like the NFL I mean, a lot of the organizations, but especially the NFL, it gets funding directly from the government. You know, I understand that aspect, but then, you know, you're just basically yelling at somebody for being distracted from the mission of liberty. Meanwhile, you know, everybody else, including myself, has like a TV show or something that you watch like almost religiously, or like something else that basically you're getting distracted by.
I play plenty of video games, you know what I mean?
Exactly. So after a couple people pointed that out to me, I was like, oh yeah, I'm an idiot. Never mind. Carry on with your sports ball stuff. But yeah, so apparently it was the Super Bowl, and there are congratulations in order. I guess the Philadelphia Eagles won there. As we were talking about before the show, I probably should have looked it up, but as far as I remember, this is their first Super Bowl win. Good on them. I know a longtime Fiend fan and good friend of mine, Paul Gordon, is probably ecstatic right now. I'm surprised he hasn't had a heart attack yet. Paulie, I hope you're all right. But he's a huge Eagles fan, so I know he's a very happy man. But the we actually had a story connected to this, which is the real reason I brought it up, because a couple of weeks ago we actually talked about, after the Eagles had played the Vikings, I guess, in the NFL championship game, we had a story a couple weeks back about what was tabbed the Crisco cops, because the cops in Philly had started putting Crisco on the light poles all over, I guess, near the stadium and stuff like that, so people wouldn't climb them during the riot phase of the victory or loss, because, you know, it doesn't really matter what happens in Philly, they're just going to go nuts no matter what. And, you know, we laughed a lot to see the pictures taken shortly thereafter of people getting up, managed to get up past the Crisco anyway, and pretty much telling the cops, you know, you did all that work for nothing, because they still managed to climb the poles. This time, I guess, they learned their lesson from that, and we haven't been able to catch any of the results yet, but this time around they started putting hydraulic fluid on all the poles.
Yo, you gotta be kidding me, man.
Yeah, I caught this headline. Like, I actually caught this, like, this was trending on Facebook, I guess. I just happened to look on Facebook quick and I saw a little trending bar. I'm like, what, hydraulic fluid? What? And sure enough, there's pictures of the cops out there with these giant, you know, with the long brushes on those telescopic poles, like brushing hydraulic fluid up and down these poles throughout Philadelphia.
Find a way. They will totally find a way, man.
Well, of course, because, I mean, the story mentions this. I mean, the particular one that I got, like I said, I picked it on Facebook. So the first link it took me to was an MSN, which I normally don't go to. But, you know, it even says in this article that it basically was a direct challenge to the fans last time. Like, you know, basically, like, yep, exactly. Here you go, see if you could do this. So everybody immediately went out and was like, let's see if we could do this. So, you know, there was people out there tonight trying this, but I'm sure somebody managed to figure out some way to get past it and get up, you know.
They're just going to flip over a car and use it as a ramp and just walk on up there.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll happen.
And it's like, that I don't even understand why they're so concerned about these light poles. It's like they're afraid of somebody falling. They're just protecting idiots from themselves. Why don't you put all that energy into protecting some property instead of protecting some idiot from falling off of something that he climbed up off of?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, the only rationale with that I could possibly see is the person could theoretically hurt somebody else by falling. You know, kind of the same type of reason that they insist that they have to have seatbelt laws. It's not that they're protecting you. They're protecting the possibility of you being launched from the car and hitting somebody else.
What?
You've never heard that? I actually had a cop, the last time I got a seatbelt ticket, which was years ago, I was actually told this by the cop when I asked him why he needed to give me a ticket for something, like when I wasn't harming anybody, you know, basically trying to lay the whole, you know, I'm not violating the nap thing, you know,
They come up with some elaborate excuses, don't they?
Well, that was the justification this cop gave me. The statistics on, you know, people who get into an accident without wearing their seatbelt, and how many people get launched from the car, and how many of those people actually injure other people. So they're actually protecting the public at large by insisting that you wear a seatbelt or pay a fine.
It's masterful.
Government. Thanks a lot.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Yeah.
Freedom Beans. And we're back. And we have another story that we're going to talk about. Oh, we don't really have a story. Well, John's got the story in his head because apparently he knows people. But there's been some hubbub lately, I guess, in the good old LP, the Libertarian Party, which is.
I feel bad for knowing about this stuff.
Well, yeah, but you know. Hey man, when you got a source, you got to run with it, right? So, apparently the LP, which is a joke as far as I'm concerned, and I think the three of us agree on that. Of course, the Libertarian Party, originally created here in the United States, was meant to be just an outreach program. It was never meant to be a political party because it was started by a group of anarchists, or at least small L libertarians who had given up on the idea of the state, and that's all it was ever supposed to be. And of course, over the years, it has morphed and it has been taken over and or infiltrated or whatever, and or just people have given up and tried to water down the message over the years. And that's of course how you end up with people like Gary Johnson being the nominee two cycles in a row. And this year, for their national convention, they apparently are causing even more of an issue and letting people know just how really unlibertarian they really are did they turn down or whatever? There was a whole big story. John knows more of it, but basically about it was both Ron Paul and I believe Judge Napolitano were both kind of rejected as speakers at the national convention. And at least with Ron Paul in particular, it allegedly came down to his speaking fee, which is the same speaking fee I believe he has charged for quite a while for all of his speeches. So it wasn't like this was like news to anybody that this was what would be charged. But the LP basically originally claimed that they just rejected it because of money issues, and then apparently there's more to that story that John knows about, and now they're going to have some egg on their face anyway. So why don't you tell us some more about this, John?
All right, yeah. So a good friend of mine, Michael Heiss, he's involved with the Mises Caucus, which is I think we talked about him on the show before. They're basically a group of, I guess, registered libertarians that are essentially trying to take over the party for real libertarians that believe in Austrian economics and stuff like that, not just people who are not Democrat or Republican and just pick the, you know, third largest political party or whatever, which is what a lot of the leadership is kind of promoting towards nowadays. So he hits me up and he says, dude, I got this crazy story. You want to write it? It's about the Libertarian Party. And I was like, I don't really know, man. I don't know if I want to write about the Libertarian Party. And he's like, dude, you got to hear about this. And he says he's been trying to book Ron Paul and Judge Napolitano for the convention. And of course, as somebody who's involved with the Libertarian Party and, you know, he has the ability to do that, especially running a caucus that isn't out of the ordinary, especially with two people who are kind of libertarian icons. You know, you'd think they'd be jumping all over it. Well, the guy that he was talking to, his name was Daniel Hayes. He's the guy, he's in the libertarian leadership, probably like fifth high up or something like that. He's like on the third tier of leadership, I believe it was explained to me. I had to get the political rundown from Mike about how all this works when I was writing my article. But basically, I saw the screenshots between him and this guy, Daniel, and I put them all in my article and everything. And this guy, Daniel Hayes, says that, like, Ron Paul has no clue what the Libertarian Party stands for and all this. And sends Mike an article that Ron Paul wrote about how the Libertarian Party has kind of sold out and gotten watered down. And they're like, see, look, he's criticizing us. And well, Mike's like, this is the whole reason why I'm doing my thing. Like, this is every, you know, like, this is the problem.
Yeah. So, Ron Paul is wrong. How? I mean,
yeah, not exactly. Wrong. So they're threatened by him, essentially, or they're threatened by the fact that he criticized them. And they tried to block him, and apparently they had a vote on it, and a majority of the leadership there voted no. So then Mike, obviously, I mean, he's in politics now. He's in the game, so he figured, let's make this public, you know what I'm saying? And as soon as he made it public, everybody started freaking out, because this is like the Libertarian Party turning down Ron Paul, you know? It's like Comic-Con saying Stan Lee can't come or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, so then the Libertarian Party leadership comes out and they say, oh, it's because, you know, big, bad, greedy Ron Paul wants all this money and we can't afford that. And this Mike Heist guy over the Mises Caucus just called, you know, his rep up and he doesn't have any connections. And Mike's like, what are you talking about? I'm going to pay for this. I got people here. I got sponsors who are going to pay for this. And, you know, you didn't even get that far with us. You just rejected him outright. So then they got called on their bluff, and they were pretty much lying about that being it was really a personal issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they're, it looks like he's going to speak there, and that they're kind of forced to walk back on it now. And I saw today that John McAfee, who, did you see this? John McAfee, who ran for president on the Libertarian Party ticket last time around. He put out a tweet today saying he's renouncing his membership in the party because they rejected Ron Paul from the thing.
Wow.
So like, if he's saying that, somebody who like was a presidential candidate last time, I can imagine.
He tried to get the nomination.
Yeah. I'm like I said, I'm not in the political game. So
it was Johnson again, wasn't it? Wasn't that idiot?
Yeah, he was running against Johnson, so he was a potential candidate or whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
So, if somebody like who was that involved is saying that they're done with it, then I wonder how many people out there who got into it through Ron Paul or whatever are now being like, oh, you know, no way.
Well, I'm sure there's a decent amount. It's tough. I haven't been in a Libertarian Party event in quite a while. I've talked about it before. I was a member of the LP for quite a while. I actually tried to run for local office under the LP banner. But I haven't had to deal with them in a long time. But I just remember,
I speak at them every now and then, at those events. And it's kind of stuffy and weird, and definitely not, mostly it doesn't seem like our people. It seems like political people in there, you know?
Yeah. Most of the, I'm trying to, like, I'm remembering back, and most of the ones I have been around, or whenever I do see them, it's usually, there's usually like one faction, most often the younger one, that may be a little more open to different ideas. But yes, the old guard of the Libertarian Party is usually very stuffy. And even those type of people, even if they had been fans of Ron Paul, I could see them being, I'm like remembering two guys in particular that I know that were in the local Libertarian Party who had been there for years. I could totally see both of them, even being Ron Paul fans, being offended by the fact that he had put the LP down, just like the other guy that Michael was talking to did. You know, basically like, how dare he? Look, he's insulting. He's trashing us. Look, we can't have him talk yet. Like, I could see so many of them having that attitude. And basically being willing to shun Ron Paul. But I can also see a lot of other people, like the ones you're talking about, the people who kind of came to everything through Ron Paul, being like, this is the last straw, I give up. I mean, I saw a number of posts about it after the news originally broke, before all the other stuff came out, just when the original headline basically was LP rejects Ron Paul. I saw a ton of people on my feeds automatically going, this is it. I tried so hard, but I just can't. They're rejecting Ron Paul. This is insane. I'm done with the LP. So yeah, they're gonna have to play damage control.
The thing that irritates me about this is that they're playing damage control. They're gonna backpedal, and now I'm gonna have some Snopes article floating around out there saying that my article is trash because ended up speaking there. These are the things that happen.
I hate how something like Snopes is used to determine what's fake news and what's not.
Dude, I had an article last week where it was like the government plans to kill a whole bunch of wild horses, right? And all these people were sharing the Snopes article in the comments from 4 years ago, the last time the government's planned to kill a bunch of wild horses and then decided not to last minute. They're like, oh, look, you're lying. I'm like, they come up with this plan every couple of years and they tried to do it and they're trying to do it again. I'm sorry that your research level is just going to Snopes.
Yeah.
Sorry to take it off on that tangent there.
That's okay. I was going to get back on track and mention how another libertarian presidential candidate, who's also a friend of the show, Daryl W. Perry, he ran on the platform of making libertarians libertarian again, and he said they've been watering down the message and they haven't stuck to the core principles of non-aggression and self-ownership. And it was really cool because he was in a debate on RT and he actually said on the air, taxation is theft. It was great.
Yeah, yeah, he was awesome. And I was a big fan of him.
Yeah, Daryl's definitely, I mean, as much as I abhor getting involved in politics at all, if anybody's going to go in there and speak that type of stuff, he definitely had it down. You know, I caught some of the different debates with him, and he knows the libertarian message, the actual libertarian message, better than any of the other so-called libertarians that were trying to spew it out there.
I would have loved to see Daryl in the debates against Trump and Clinton, if that would be at all possible, because
they would never let that happen.
They would never let that happen, because then the masses would hear actual philosophical and logical consistency for once.
Yeah. And you would actually hear rational thought.
Yeah. The first time I heard rational thought, you know, it kind of stuck with me, and it got me to follow along and see what this is all about.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely why I have Mike's back in this a lot, because, you know, even though I'm into politics, it's not just because he's my friend and I like him, but it's also because he's not really trying to get into office per se, or get anybody else. He's not running, but he's trying to get other people to run. But he's not really trying to get anybody office. He's trying to educate people, and he's putting agorism out there, Bitcoin out there. So I think that's definitely important.
Yeah.
Worms.
I don't know. Like I said, I don't necessarily have a problem with it. It's not for me, but hey, if you're actually going to do what the LP was intended to do, go for it.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
We have a story here that written by, well, look at that, it's written by John. As is often the case here on Sundays, which is great. But this is a history piece that John has written. But it goes to show that, well, government has been inept for a very, very long time. And the fact that they don't really pay it, most politicians don't pay attention to the bills that are put in front of their face, is not a new phenomenon. Because what was this back in 71, I think, something like that?
Yeah.
It was a long time ago. Yep.
Back in 1971, the headline for this is great. Proving they read nothing, lawmakers passed bill honoring serial killer for population control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked writing that one.
Yeah, this is spectacular. Down in Texas, I guess.
Tom.
Yeah, for an April Fool's joke, allegedly in 1971, he wrote a bill, basically praising the Boston Strangler for quote his unconventional techniques involving population control. But since he used the guy's real name, Albert DeSalvo, nobody really paid attention. If Boston Strangler had been on the paper, maybe somebody had caught it. But just by putting the guy's real name, nobody paid attention to it. So he basically put this resolution in and it passed because people just went ahead with it and just read what he was doing. Oh, they're honoring this guy for doing this. Although, you know, the term population control, like the first thing I think of when I see that is eugenics.
Yeah, and that's sketchy to begin with.
Right. Already.
If people's eyes didn't get raised at that statement, you know, then nothing will. You could pretty much sneak any of it by it. And this was just done according to the rep himself. Like this was just done as a joke. But even if it wasn't, this goes to show that as far back as, you know, how many years ago now at this point, coming close to 50 years. Yeah. They still were paying attention. That was before the bills started to get as insane as they are now, because, you know,
this thing was only one page.
Yeah, exactly. That's the even funnier thing about this. This isn't one of these like walls of text bills that gets dropped on the desk and is, you know, stacks and stacks and stacks of paper high, which nobody can rationally be expected to read in the amount of time that they're usually given these things. But you know, that would be fun. That would be bad enough if he had kind of snuck it in there somewhere. But literally, this was just one page that was like, we're gonna honor this guy for helping out with population control. And
yep. Yeah, that's all he had to say. That should have raised a red flag somewhere for somebody.
Yep.
Well, not for the lawmakers, obviously.
Nope. They just went along with it. I mean, how many times people get honored for random things, and it's just like some representative, some senator, whatever, decides to put it in there because it's somebody in their district, and everybody just goes, "Oh yeah, 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 we'll do that." Sure. Is it costing us any time, us personally, any time or money? No. Great. Okay. So we'll sign off on it. It's a good thing. It makes us look like we're doing good. You know, we're giving back, that type of thing. We're honoring the everyday citizen, and. Yeah, it's hysterical. I mean, they say that you wrote that the guy actually rescinded the resolution before it actually became a bill, but the fact that it had passed as a resolution meant that it probably could have if he didn't stop it.
And yeah, this is another one of those things where Snopes will be like, it isn't a law. It's like, yeah, you're missing the point. You're missing the point.
Right. But yeah, if they couldn't read one page back then, there's no way they're going to read 1,000 pages back, you know, nowadays. Which reminds
me of
see
them sleeping there with their iPhones and all sorts of stuff in the memes.
Yeah. Reminds me of the whole Nancy Pelosi quote where we have to pass it to find out what's in it.
I put that video in the article.
Yeah, that of course is a classic. But yeah, nowadays it's done by design. They purposely make them gigantic so nobody can read these things. I think the only person who's ever read any of them was, well, Ron Paul.
Exactly.
Whenever he was asked why he always voted no for every bill that came across his desk, his reason was a simple. Because I read it.
Yep. That's an awesome answer.
Yeah, because most people don't. But if you actually read it and see what they want to do to you or do to everybody else... Scary, man. That's government. Anyway, we'll be back after this trip to the market. We shall return in the second hour. Arms.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you.
We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. And as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. This allows reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. To learn more, go to BIPCOT.org. All right, and we're back. The second hour of the Freedom Fiends. I'm Shane, and I'm joined by Jeremy and John. And I think we're going to shift gears a little bit here in the second hour. Although I forgot what we were going to cover first.
Oh, there was the story about Telegram. I think it was one of the ones Michael sent us. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Telegram is a popular messaging app. I know Shane and I use it. And it was touted for a long time as being, being encrypted. It basically, your messages would be secure and all that stuff. It's not as encrypted and as secure as it was originally sold as, but I still like to use it. I've become accustomed to it, and I have a lot of friends that use it, and it's just an easy way to contact people.
And it is very convenient and user-friendly way of chatting with a group of people.
Yeah, exactly. You can have individual conversations. You can have group conversations. You can use text or voice within the same group or chat or whatever. You can also post pictures and links and stuff like that, and pretty much anything else you want to do. So it is very convenient. But this particular story was actually kind of funny because I heard about this. I heard about it originally when it happened, and I guess they reversed it pretty quickly. But the headline was Apple removes Telegram app from store due to inappropriate content. And yeah, apparently the Apple iStore, was it the iStore, I guess? I don't know. I'm not one of the beautiful people. I don't use them. I don't use those things.
Me neither.
But apparently they actually removed it from the Android store. Or what was it? Wait a minute. Telegram. Removed the Apple's app from the store.
Yeah, I think it was still available for Android.
Yeah, but they removed Telegram, and there's a new experimental app called Telegram X, which I don't actually know anything about. I've heard the title once or twice, but I haven't really looked into it. But apparently, both of them were taken down off of the Apple App Store for allegedly having inappropriate content, which, of course, Telegram has been in the news before because a lot of people were claiming that ISIS was using Telegram and that it was basically a way for terrorists to get connected, and that's why it's evil and needs to be shut down.
Everything is a way for terrorists to get connected.
Of course, but this was because of the whole encryption thing. Everybody was like, "Oh my God, they can have these secure channels." And from what I remember, wasn't Telegram created by some Russian quasi anarchists or something? Or wasn't that the story behind it? I thought it came from Russia originally. I thought, right?
Recently, I believe I heard something like that about the Telegram guy being an anarchist, possibly.
I would not be surprised.
Yep. Go ahead. Yeah, the Signal guy and the Telegram guy are both anarchists.
The Signal, which is another messaging app, which actually is a lot more secure. So much so that other companies have started using. I believe Facebook Messenger. The Facebook decided to start using it for Messenger. Started using the Signal protocol because it is highly encrypted. and much and more
it's
secure.
An open source.
Yeah, one of my foil hat friends, he will use Signal but not Telegram.
I can understand that. I happen to have both on my phone. I use both of them, and I honestly, yeah. I mean, I do use Signal for my more important conversations because every, you know, not only does the encryption work, all, you know, the encryption's a lot more secure on Signal, because the thing with Telegram was originally, you know, said to be encrypted, and everybody's like, oh, we're gonna hop on here, but unless you actually bother to read up on it, it was only you could encrypt your one-on-one conversations with people if you chose to, but it wasn't like the default setting. Whereas Signal, I believe, by default, everything is encrypted. And originally, you couldn't even do group chats on Signal. I don't even know if you can now. I think you might be able to now. They've been upgrading slowly, but they've been doing things a lot better, yeah, as far as I'm concerned.
A lot of times, I'll be having a conversation with my foil hat friend in, like, say, Messenger or something. He'll be like, let's move this over to Signal.
Yeah, there's certain conversations. Actually, MWD will only talk to me. Michael will only talk to me through Signal. You know, the great thing, like I said, the great thing about Signal is everything is pretty much by default, and you can have the self-destruct feature on Signal is great. Like, you can set your messages to self-destruct after a certain amount of hours or a day or whatever, so that even if you do have a conversation and you forget about it, it'll just be wiped away anyway. But
I wish they had this stuff when I was hustling, man.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, so I guess Signal is like the Monero of chat applications.
I think that's a good comparison. I like that. Telegram is much more widely used, as far as I know. It's got a much, you know, much bigger customer base. And it's just funny that Apple, like I said, apparently they corrected the mistake, I guess, a couple hours later that day. But yeah, they stripped
it back on.
Yeah, they put it back on the App Store, but because this article actually updated it. It says, yeah, let's see, where's the date on this? So February 1st at 11 a.m. and, oh yeah, 7 hours later, because the original tweet. Pavel Durov, yeah, I don't know if that's how you actually pronounce it, but yeah, that looks right. Is the guy who created Telegram, I believe. He's the lead guy on it, and he actually put out the tweet originally saying that they got alerted that they took down it because of the inappropriate content. And then almost exactly 7 hours later, he put out a tweet saying, "Okay, they're putting it back on the App Store." Although it says so, it's midnight, so less than 12 hours altogether it was down. But yeah, I don't think there was ever actually an explanation what the inappropriate content was, but there are enough kind of, you know, allusions to it in different articles I've read, basically about the fact that, well, it probably had something to do with the whole terrorist thing, because the Russian government's constantly fighting with Telegram, because again, this guy is I don't believe he's ever actually said he is an anarchist, but there was always a lot of chatter about that. And, you know, he is from Russia, so he's constantly butting heads with their government. But there was constantly these claims of ISIS channels being up and running on there that they were having to shut down. And then there was they had some Iranian channels that they were having issues with, apparently. So I'm sure some of the inappropriate content could have come from there, but, you know, I know plenty of other people that share plenty of other inappropriate content back and forth on that thing, so who knows,
like,
what they
CNN.
Were well yeah, there you go. But yeah, no, who knows what they consider inappropriate content. But it's just funny because, you know, Apple's supposed to be all about innovation and stuff, and they seem to be very prudish. I don't know.
They're done with innovation. They were done with innovation when Steve Jobs died, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's possible. I don't know. Like I said, I was never really a big fan of Apple. I think the first computer I ever played with might have been, you know, way back in the day. And ever since then, I was just, nah, not my thing. I didn't really.
Yeah, I don't want to learn another operating system. You know, I mean, I tried to. I had one of them colorful things for a while because I got it as a hand-me-down from a friend, and I couldn't even figure that thing out. I had it for like a year, and I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, whenever I'd pick up, I'd just pick up somebody's iPhone, and I would get frustrated. I was like, yeah, I'm done. I don't need this.
Yeah, back when I was a PC gamer, I used to play a lot of World of Warcraft, and a lot of our Apple friends always had like problems either with the game itself or with not the Skype, but we used something else called Ventrilo, and they always had problems running it on an Apple. So yeah, a lot of gamers.
Yeah,
tend
I
to
couldn't
use PCs.
Run everything.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, I don't know. I from what I remember, I mean, wasn't the whole thing originally like the Apple's products started to become big again because for like graphics and stuff, wasn't that, I believe that's what it was. It was better for that. That's why people are moving over to that.
Yeah, I think a lot of artists like for visual and sound, you know, stuff like that would use it for their art. But
Apple has a lot of those cool programs that come with it that are like GarageBand and whatever, like, and Microsoft really doesn't have those type of programs for people who are creators or whatever, whether it's artists or musicians. So, you know, they have a lot of those really good platforms built in.
Oh, well, I don't need none of that. I got what I need on Windows, and I'm too lazy to actually change. I've been saying for years I was going to get into Linux so I could finally learn how to do that, and I just never got around to that. So
all that's way over my head.
Yeah.
Same here.
Michael Fiennes over there yelling at us somewhere.
Oh, well, I think I even heard him say recently that he actually doesn't know Linux that well.
Really?
Yeah, I think I could have swore I remember him on a show recently saying that he knew enough to get around on it, but it's not like he isn't that hardcore about it because I think he uses Windows for most of his machines anyway. You know, there are ways to be secure. I don't know. I listen to Sovereign Tech regularly, and if you listen to him, he'll tell you that even if you're using Windows, there's ways you could secure things. So. It's much easier for me. I don't want to deal with it. We've discussed that plenty of times. You know, I'm a quasi-Luddite, so once I have something that works, kind of, sort of.
That's, yeah, I heal you on that.
Although even
yeah,
I must say.
You're a Luddite and you're like mining and stuff, yeah.
Well, like I said, that's why I said quasi, you know. I'm not totally opposed to technology. I just, a lot of times, I don't want to change once I, well, even with that, I mean, I have my little rig upstairs. I could have upgraded already multiple times, and I haven't got around to it because I'm like, it's kind of working right now. Why mess with it?
I don't hate technology. I'm just not good at figuring it out.
I'm not particularly good either. I stumble along. If I really want to learn, I can. I kind of get lazy sometimes. Yeah. I was never a hardcore geek about these things, so I never got into it. But what are you going to do? Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
You know you want to be a filmmaker. As Rick of Rick and Morty says, school's not a place for smart people. Nowhere is this more true than film school. Don't waste years and $100,000 being taught by those who couldn't make it. Just get a camera and a $7 Kindle version of $30 Film School 3rd Edition. $30 Film School 3rd Edition is the recent update on the classic 2003 book that helped spark the do-it-yourself filmmaking revolution. Written by DIY filmmaker Michael W. Dean, whose high-quality, low-budget movies star Academy Award winners and nominees, get worldwide distribution, and have been in many respected film festivals. The first two editions sold over 100,000 copies, and it's recommended reading in many colleges. The book is back, updated for today's high-def consumer cameras, but still has the same self-starter ethic and tips that no other book has. Get it delivered this minute to your Kindle or phone for only $7. Go to Amazon and type in $30 Film School 3rd Edition. That's $30 Film School 3rd Edition.
Yeah. And we're back. And I guess this is as good a time as any to mention one of our you know, we were talking about apps in the last segment with Telegram and Signal. Yeah. And one of my other favorite apps, I think it's one of yours too, Shane, right?
It's a good one. I don't know about you, John. Yes.
Yeah, it's a Cell 411.
I am a fan.
Yes, the wonderful app that you can get for free on the Apple, currently on the Apple Store. Hopefully that doesn't get taken out for inappropriate content or Android or the Google Play Store. And you can go to getcell411.com to check out all about it. But yeah, it's a great app. It is, the original design of it was to kind of help you become less dependent on the state, because it was created by a wonderful human being, as far as I'm concerned, Mr. Virgil Vaduva, who made this app. And it was, like I said, it was basically designed to help you stop relying on it, because it has a bunch of different features where you can just, at a push of a button, reach out and connect to a group of people, either your neighbors, friends, family, whatever, anybody closer to you than the state apparatus, you know, police and fire and all that stuff, for emergencies of any kind, including emergencies dealing with the police.
Right.
If you're getting pulled over and harassed for something, you know, for some victimless crime, then you can quickly send a message and let everybody know that you're basically being bullied. And
you can alert your cop blocker friends.
Yes, if you have cop blocker friends in your area who are willing to show up at a moment's notice to videotape the entire event for you or anybody else that would be happening to, along with the fact that you can videotape yourself with Cell 411, which is a great feature I love. That, you know, again, just push a button and it starts recording. And if for some reason, again, if you happen to be in a situation with, say, I don't know, the police, and you're trying to record, and if you've seen any of these videos before where cops will try to get people to stop recording and tell them they have to, even though even the Supreme Court, I believe, has ruled numerous times that people have a quote unquote right to film the cops if they're in a public area.
And they will often force take your phone and actually try to delete the video themselves, which Cell 411 prevents.
Exactly. That's what I was getting to. And they will, yeah. So even if they try to do that, if they try to break it on you or they try to hit the delete button, there's nothing that can be done, because the video is automatically stored on the Cell 411 servers. And I'm pretty sure Virgil is not somebody who's going to respond to threats from the government very kindly if they try to demand information. But yeah, so it'll be safe there until you can get yourself into a more secure location and retrieve the video. And one of the other features that I still haven't used it yet, because I don't have much need for it right now, but I hope to in the future, is the ride sharing function. I love, because, you know, you got Uber, you got Lyft out there, which are nice, you know, although in a lot of places they end up getting banned in a lot of different cities. But the wonderful thing about Cell 411's ride sharing is not only can you connect people and you have the turn-by-turn directions and all that stuff, you know, kind of like Lyft and Uber, but you have more payment options with Cell 411, which I love, because with the other companies, I believe you're regulated to either cash or credit card. Not so much with Cell 411. If you want to use cash or credit card, you can, but you can use crypto, you can use precious metals, you can barter with your driver if you want. I mean, hey, whatever you guys can work, whatever deal you can work out, Cell 411 doesn't care. It's up to you guys. You know, that's between you. They're not taking it. Cell 411 doesn't get a cut of that or anything. They're literally just there to connect people together. So
bartering for a ride doesn't always end up too well.
Well, I mean, hey, I've traded things for rides in the past and it went well, you know. I mean,
I'm depends, just making jokes, man.
Depends
on what you're trading.
Well, exactly. And, you know, it depends on how desperate you are, you know. Certain times you may be willing to do certain more things. Anyway, I'm getting away from the...
Hey, if it gets you down the road.
Story for another... Oh, what am I thinking? Was that? Oh, that, I'm thinking of... whatchamacallit? Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Exactly. That's what I was saying.
Oh, Carlin, how I miss you. Such a great scene. Anyway, yes, for anybody who hasn't seen that movie, you should go see that. Great classic. Anyway, so yeah, get cell401.com, getcell401.com is the website. If you haven't been there already, if you don't have it, I highly suggest you go check it out and sign up. And, you know, like I said, I've used it. I use it regularly, and it's a wonderful app. You should all get it. Farms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Cell 411 is a great free app for Android and iPhone. It allows you to set up public and private cells for dealing with crime, emergencies, setting up neighborhood watch, activism, and even protecting your kids from bullies on the street or at school. Cell 411 gives your cells turn-by-turn directions to your location with one touch on your phone. There is also a Bluetooth panic button available that can be worn on your wrist, belt, or around your neck. Cell 411 has real-time chat for each alert so you can discuss the incident with family or friends in real-time video streaming. The video is stored on Cell 411's servers so your evidence cannot be deleted if your phone is taken or destroyed. Cell 411 has decentralized ride-sharing that allows for payment in any form, crypto, barter, silver, cash, etc. Cell 411 does not take a cut of your fare. Get Cell 411 free on Google Play and the iTunes Store, or go to getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.
And we're back. And we have a story that we've been battling over this the entire time during the break, trying to figure out how we're going to finish off the show. You know, for those of you joining us maybe for the first time, we do a little thing, or sometimes we do a little thing called the redemption of the third act. But we have a couple of those stories tonight, so we actually be doing a double redemption. But this story in particular is very interesting, and again, written by John. So nice to be able to have the author of these articles here to be able to talk about them. And but this is kind of interesting. And the headline for this one was MIT professor shows students the Black Mirror, the TV show for anybody who's not in the know, so they won't create a dystopian tech, which is really interesting because apparently, you know, for anybody who doesn't know, Black Mirror, and I started watching it recently. I think I only got through the first couple of episodes, but it's been described, I guess, as like, you know, a kind of modern day or just a dystopian version of the Twilight Zone, where it's just kind of like there's a different story every week. Now, there's, you know, slight little connections here and there, but basically completely different things going on, but always always with these weird technological things going on. I don't know. Do you guys watch the show?
Yes, I love the show. It's like set in the near future, and it's very dystopian, and it's a different cast and different actors and a different story every week, but every episode. But it's very interesting, and I highly recommend it. Twilight Zone is a good analogy, I would say.
Yeah, I've seen the first couple episodes. I got some catching up to do, though.
Yeah, is season four now? Maybe even five? Isn't it, or did season four just finish? Maybe? I don't even know. Or maybe it's in season five at this point. Yeah, I think I got through the first two episodes, and then I got distracted with other things. But I definitely dug it. It was definitely interesting. But the fact that professors are actually, you know, actually looking at this, because especially around here, we're often down on the whole education process, the schooling
indoctrination
process. Yeah, the indoctrination process, and in quote unquote higher education, it's not any better, sometimes even worse, because most universities are, well, they're just littered
commies.
Commies, and those horrible, horrible leftist scum. the horrible progressive, the academics that kind of control everything. But yeah, up in the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, which is one of the leading tech research centers in the world, as you point out in the article, this is true. They're kind of. They're looking at it and going, no, we don't want to hide this stuff from our students. We want to show them the TV show Black Mirror and say, look, you guys are here to try to, you know, figure out the next stages of kind of humanity, basically, at this point. That's what these the people who go through these programs are. They're the ones who end up creating all the cool stuff that we end up getting to play with later in our lives. So these
and
are
a lot of nasty stuff comes from that school too, sometimes, you know.
Well, yeah, that's true, but that's why, you know, that's why I think it's interesting that this particular professor is like, well, yeah, of course, technology, you know, you can create horrible things that can kill millions of people or hurt millions of people or whatever, but you can also do really wonderful things. So the whole purpose of this is to have them watch this show to hopefully have them gain an understanding of like this is what you could do. But let's not go there. Like, let's try to focus on positive stuff instead. I don't know. I really like it. What do you guys?
Oh, yeah. I would
think
say
that's why. Oh, go ahead.
I would say one way to prevent a dystopian future is to watch Black Mirror and don't do what they do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I think that is why the dystopian thing is so popular now. And I think there's like a lot of people out there who know what's up. Like, they know that. They might not know to the extent of what's up, but they generally know that we're slaves. And, you know, a lot of creative people out there are putting out movies, music, all sorts of stuff. And it's not just, you know, the trendy anti-Trump stuff. This stuff's been going on for years. I mean, it was during Obama that Hunger Games and all those movies, that there were like 4 or 5 knockoffs for that. I forget what the other one was called, but there were a whole bunch of, you know, movies like that, and that is kind of the thing right now. And I think that definitely speaks to the fact that people might not be as asleep as you know, we think they are.
Well, I would like to think that, but on one level, I could see that, because yeah, I agree with you. There are certain there has been a certain trend. And when it comes to certain either TV shows or movies or whatever it is, usually I find if it comes from a more like kind of independent place, then yeah, then definitely it seems that those people seem to have like that kind of mindset, at least they're thinking in that way and going, well, like, this might be the reality sometime soon. On the other hand, I'm always leery if, like, you know, mainstream productions are putting this type of stuff out. Or,
yeah, are still greasing light poles and eating Tide Pods. So,
well, yeah, well, no, just because if like more mainstream companies and stuff are kind of putting this stuff out, to me, it's like, well, we've seen it happen before where they can kind of almost like desensitize people to it instead. You know, if I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on for this episode, you know,
programming and all that.
Well, yeah. I mean, predictive programming. Look, of course, you know, the Simpsons predicted everything. That's all you ever have to watch anyway. I mean,
as long as you
follow Simpsons for long enough, they've predicted pretty much everything, everything that's occurred. but no, like I said, when it comes to like stuff like that, it's happened before where they kind of put those things out there through the media, you know, the powers that be, whatever you want to call them. You know, it's been proven to happen before. So when it comes to stuff like this, on one hand, I think it's great, but on the other hand, I'm like, who's behind this? why is there such a big push? You know, is it to frighten everybody, or is it to just kind of get everybody to be like, you know, these are the things of movies. So when it actually does start to happen, and the people go out there and go, oh my God, are you seeing what's going on? Everybody will just look at them and go, oh man, you're such a conspiracy theorist. That's like the stuff we see in the movies. That doesn't really happen until it's too late, and then, you know.
Well, as a fan of Black Mirror, I would like to think that they are trying to scare us away from, or at least have us realize what some of these unintended negative consequences could be, and to steer away from that. So I kind of like to think that it's, you know, more of a warning, you know, to us to not let our future become something like Black Mirror.
Oh, you know what I heard? I don't know how true this is, but do you know why it's called Black Mirror?
No.
Apparently, because that's what your cell phone is when it's off. It's a black mirror.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not, but somebody said that, and I thought it was really trippy.
That would be. See, this is where we need Michael. Michael
because
would know.
Because it really is. That's what it is. You know what I mean? If it, like...
Yeah.
And the cell phone is like the dystopian thing, you know what I mean? Like,
I like that better than what I originally thought, which was, you've heard of Nostradamus, and I guess he used to stare into a black mirror to get some of his visions.
Oh, and this is supposed to take place in the future? That's a possibility.
Hmm. Interesting. I have no idea. Like I said, I haven't got that far into the show, but I think it's far out, man.
Far. Yeah, I would say it's right up there with the Twilight Zone or Outer Limits. It's the same kind of stuff, only with a modern twist.
I love that stuff.
Yeah, well, it's definitely worth. Like I said, I'm only a couple episodes in, but I think it's definitely, and from everything I've heard, I think it's definitely a worthwhile show to watch.
Yeah, once you get past the first couple episodes, because the first one is kind of weird, and the second one might be kind of slow, but once you get into
the first one.
Yeah.
Oh man,
get past the first couple episodes, and you'll love the show.
But you know. Like I said,
can't even talk about the first one on the radio.
Unfortunately, it's not radio friendly.
Yeah, well, you know, most of the good things aren't, unfortunately. I think it's an interesting, especially for me, just to see the it's encouraging, rather, I should say, that there's still professors out there that are looking at this stuff and trying to make use of it and going, hey. You could still take programming and put it into the classroom and go, hey, we can make use of this and just don't do that. Now, of course, I'm sure this will encourage certain people. You know, I'm sure there's certain people that are in those classes that see this type of stuff and go, oh, look what I could do. But
I would not be surprised.
But yeah, but they would be
known as sociopaths.
Yes, they do walk among us. I've met quite a few, but there's probably
quite a few at MIT.
Well, yeah. Well, like you said, there's been some bad things that have come out of there. But although most of the time, you know, unfortunately, most of the time when technology is created, it's usually some of the really bad stuff isn't always often created for harm. You know, it's kind of just created and then somebody else figures out what they can do with it.
Well, there's a lot of government contracts at MIT. You got Boston Dynamics in there and... I believe DARPA possibly has big contracts in there too.
Have you seen the social media episode of Dark Mirror or Black Mirror?
I have not seen that one yet.
Oh, that's an actual scary one because it reminds me of what I heard about China trying to do with their social media platform where you can like downvote people and stuff like that. And when it comes to the freedom of association, something like that could be really scary.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't gotten that far yet, but yeah, that's definitely that is. You watch this type of stuff, and some people might brush it off, but it's true that like this could be certain stuff like this could become a reality. That's kind of why, you know, I've always said technology is kind of like it's our savior and the bane of our existence all at the same time.
Absolutely,
yeah, it's a double edged sword.
It's all about who has the power, man. Gonna use it for good or you gonna use it for evil? Yeah. Hopefully most of these kids who are taking this class will take the message to heart and keep creating good things to make the make our situation better.
I like hopefully to be stay optimistic. Free too.
Yeah. I've been a pessimist most of my life. I'm trying to be more optimistic these days because, you know, that's sort of depressing being the other way around.
Yeah, same here. I'm sick of yelling at everybody that they're slaves.
Yeah.
Worms.
I mean, they are. But
yeah.
Sort of have to yell about it so much.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
And we're back for the final segment of the night. I guess now this is like our second redemption as well.
We're doubling down on redemption tonight.
Exactly. And This one is another story that, well, gee, surprise, surprise. I think John brought us. But I caught this story when you first put it out. And you hear about these things from time to time. Of course, never happens to me or anybody else I know. But, you know, it is nice when it happened. And, yeah, apparently some server somewhere at a restaurant. What is it? El Patron restaurant and cantina in Albuquerque got one heck of a tip after they were chatting with some bigwig for a while. They didn't realize it. And it was a life-changing event. So, John, what's this all about, man? This is your story.
Well, yeah, they were, I guess they were working like late night on a shift. And as I understand it, like the CEO and his friend or whoever was with him, it might have even been two CEOs. They came in, they were like the last people to come in, and it was like right before closing time. It was one of them kind of things. And they kind of, you know, set up and, you know, had their dinner or whatever. And I guess you would kind of expect the server to kind of be a little bit of a jerk in that situation. But apparently he was super cool and, you know, was just having a conversation with him and everything. And they ended up, I guess, talking, and like maybe they exchanged stories, and he said, you know, he might not like working there too much, or that he wanted to coach football or something. And then the guy ended up giving him a $15,000 tip and telling him, like, you know, go do what you want with your life.
Man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's like I said, never happens to me, but yeah, it's nice when it happens to other people, I guess.
Now, I do see a lot of Facebook posts where people will, you know, for the tip, they'll put taxation is theft and they'll give cash. But I still think the server has to claim something at that point, don't they?
Well, yeah.
They do, but when there is like the ones that try to get away with stuff, they really can. Because there's like such a minimum threshold that you really you could claim that like every person gave you like 5 cents or something ridiculous like that, and they really can't prove anything.
Yeah, well, they tell you you're supposed to.
Exactly, but I've known plenty of people who have just been like, yeah, I got like 5 cents from every person. These people don't tip here.
I know people who actually do that. They write taxation is theft on the tip line, and they'll give cash.
I have done so at least once. Actually, I definitely had a picture of it. I think I had a post up about it on Facebook. I was
my little sister. Oh, sorry.
Oh no! I was just gonna say I did it with when I took my kids out one night, and I tried to explain to them what I was doing.
My little sister is a server, and one of her customers did that to her one time, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah, some of our Michigan and fam do that on occasion.
Yeah, it's a good habit to get into, I believe. But yeah, this one, unfortunately, I don't think the guy's going to be able to hide, you know.
That's going to be a tough one.
His boss ain't letting him cash it till the end of the month.
Yeah, well, and obviously now it's going to, you know, this is going to have some kind of notoriety to it because it's become public knowledge. So yeah, unfortunately, this guy's not going to be able to hide it. Although, you know, I guess for an even further hope at redemption, maybe this guy will come to a realization once the government tries to take a good chunk of that money away from him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll probably happen, yeah.
You know, maybe he too will come to realize that taxation is theft. And another new anarchist, or, you know, an actual libertarian, to bring it full circle to where we started, somewhere around the Ron Paul thing. But yeah. That'd be good. But yeah, like I said, I'm being snooty about it. But yeah, I mean, it is really, regardless if the government has to get involved, which is unfortunate, it's still, you know, this guy was like in tears, basically, because it's a life-changing event. You know, you're somebody who works a job like that, dependent on tips. And, you know, somebody gives you $15,000 just for being a cool guy one night. I guess it does kind of give you hope, right?
Worms.
So, all right, guys. Well, thank you for joining me as always tonight. Been fun.
It was a pleasure.
Always a good time.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And for more of us, of course, you can go to freedomfiends.com. Mark.